TJ's Slideways Live, courtesy of racesontheweb.com. Here is your host, TJ Buffenbarger.
Thank you, Beth. Coming to you live from the chilly Engine Pro Studios just outside of Grand Rapids, Michigan. You can interact with us tonight via our Twitter account at TJ Slideways, the Facebook fan page for TJSlideways.com. Also, our email address, TJ@TJSlideways.com. A little bit later in the program, we're going to have Brian McAvoy on from the Montpelier Motor Speedway. They announced their 2014 season, and they have some big plans you're going to want to hear about. Also, Captain Kirk Cheney's going to join us. He's a very interesting person in the sprint car world because he is his motorsports reach. He races motorcycles, he drag races, and he races sprint cars. Been successful at all of them. So we're going to talk to him a little bit about some wintertime racing and his plans for 2014. But my first guest is the proprietor of the Buckeye Outlaw Sprint Series, which, if you haven't been paying attention, is probably the fastest growing sprint car series in the country. It's definitely gotten some attention. Non-wing sprint cars in the Western Pennsylvania, Ohio, Indiana region. Last year, they brought over 50 sprint cars to Eldora for the UNOH Sprintacular, and that was an eye-opener. They just finished their 2013 season by having their banquet this past weekend, and Aaron Fry joins us on the line, and it's a pleasure, man, to have you on tonight.
Hey, it's an honor to be on the show, and it's a chilly night here where we're at, and it gets me pretty excited for race season coming up.
Yeah, it's like 2 when I got off my car. It's below 2 now. They're talking like 30 below overnight or something crazy here. So I'm glad I've got the incandescent lights here in the studio to keep me warm. But, man, some big news over the weekend. You just got done celebrating your 2013 season, but you got to make a really special announcement at the banquet that Buckeye Machine has come on as your title sponsor for this year.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah. Ray Marshall, the owner of Buckeye Machine, he's been a big supporter of what we've been doing and a couple of cars that ran on the circuit with us, and he gave me a phone call to me a couple of nights before the banquet that surprised me. We thought we had a title sponsor, and the deal fell through, and then raced up to the plate with his Buckeye Machine and came on board with us, which is going to allow us to more than double our points payout for the 2014 season and add a lot of other bonus and incentives along the trail for the drivers.
No, was this a pretty big surprise to your banquet crowd on hand?
Yeah, we kept it pretty tight-lipped. Thank God it only had to be kept quiet for 2 days. I didn't have a whole lot of time for it to sneak out, but I think everyone knew that's what I was trying for the hardest the last year or so, was trying to secure a title sponsor to give the series a little more credibility and get us on an even bigger stage.
Aaron Fry from the Buckeye Outlaw Sprint Series joining us. You also announced your 2014 schedule for this year, and has a lot of familiar places. You guys are going back to Western Pennsylvania. You'll be at Fremont, Lawrenceburg, Waynesfield, all those places. But a couple of new places this year, one new place, you're going to have Montpelier Motor Speedway on there. You're going to be going into northern Indiana, which is a new territory for you, but not totally, but because it's right down the road from Eldora, where you also have 2 races this year.
Yes, yeah. Really excited to get to Montpelier. I've run there myself with a wing and without a wing, and it's a racy little racetrack, and what I really like about it is it's a historic racetrack. The thing's been there for close to 100 years as an auto racing facility. And, we're going to be there in September, the first Saturday of September. There may be a few other venues, new venues pop up on the schedule. We're still not finished scheduling for the year. We allow the existing tracks that have scheduled with us in past years to re-up through December 31st. And so the new scheduling really is still ongoing. We've got a potential 4 or 5 other new facilities that may wind up on the schedule.
And I know you are a guy that loves racing. I mean, you ran the Hangover in a 4-cylinder car. You are enthusiast of auto racing history and such. And you're also a blue-collar racer. You're the kind of guy that would probably race as much as he possibly could. But you're leading a series of blue-collar racers. How do you strike that balance of what's too many races versus maybe not enough races?
Well, from the day I started this series, I've taken the approach at looking from the bottom up. Most racing organizations throughout history really have catered to the drivers at the top and, you know, look from the top down. And in this case, of course, anybody that knows me knows I ran on a shoestring budget all these years, and I'm close to hanging that helmet up for good, but just can't quite do it yet. But as a promoter, I've taken that attitude, and it's the little things, the changing of the tire rules every year that with other groups that really hurts the low-buck drivers. You know, the membership fees, things like that, we have nothing like that because there again, it takes money out of the racers' pockets. And, we've taken an approach to cater to the low buck drivers. And the way I see it, if we can go racing on a weekend and pick up two races back to back, Friday and Saturday in the same area, around, Ohio, and then take a weekend off in between, it gives drivers a chance to spend time with families. It gives drivers a chance to rebuild parts and race cars if they happen to get in trouble. And it's more conducive to the blue collar racer.
And it's just amazed me, the competitor reception to this series. You guys have full fields everywhere you go. Everyone I talk to, nobody has a bad thing to say about this series. And one thing I've noticed, and I noticed it right off the bat with you guys, is in an era where we talk about rules and rules and rules and different rules to save people money, quote unquote, you've taken the opposite approach. You guys have some basic safety specs. It has to look like a sprint car, essentially, but you guys have no tire rule. And you also loosen the rules on other places where a lot of series are a lot more restrictive, and it opens you guys up for a variety of different race cars, it seems like.
Right, yeah. And historically, sprint cars were an open rules package. It wasn't until the advent of the wings, which, you know, can be looked at two ways. It increased the exposure. Wing racing was on television a lot there through the 80s and 90s. However, the wings also have become a major problem of the sport. If you notice, everyone talks about financial problems. You know, that's the money, the cost of racing is what's hurting the sport. And the best thing about non-wing racing, when you take the wings off the cars, it takes the money out of the equation to a certain extent. Obviously, you still need to have some decent equipment, but the wings, the way they eat motors and tires, my drivers tell me they get twice as many shows out of an engine rebuild and tires last a lot longer. So, it's just cheaper overall for the drivers to be able to stay out on the road. But as far as the rules go for us, it's just a lot simpler because, it seems like the more rules that you put in and the changing rules from year to year, it just costs teams money. And without the wing, if a guy, our package does not even specify that it has to be a 410 cubic inch motor, and in my 15 years of driving with several different sanctioned organizations out of 410 rule, I never once saw a motor pump check for 410 cubic inches. So our rule is, if you can fit it in the frame rails of a sprint car and you want to run it, by all means, bring it out and run it.
Aaron Fry joining us from the Buckeye Outlaw Sprint Car Series. And one thing that's kind of interesting, you guys go to a lot of sprint car, you know, traditional venues. You go to places like Waynesfield that have non-wing sprint cars on a regular basis. Fremont, which has wing sprint cars on a regular basis, but they get a steady diet of sprint car racing, Lawrenceburg, so on and so forth. But you also take non-wing sprint car racing to places like PPMS and Pittsburgh and Mercer. How different are the dynamics of those events where you're taking non-wing sprint car racing to a place that this is the one time those fans are going to get to see your variety of racing all year?
It has presented a little bit of a challenge the first few times we go to those kind of places. It's tough to get the local driver to pull their wings off. It seems like we have more luck getting the lower funded teams, obviously, because it's a chance for them to jump out and run without changing anything on their cars, and they come out and they surprise themselves. They're able to keep up a little better than what they anticipated. Without the wing, it slows the cars down just a little bit. It's a lot more about throttle control, so it's easier for those drivers to keep up with us. So we get support, but not nearly as strong of support. When we run in an area that has a lot of non-wing traditional sprint car racing, it's not uncommon for us to have 40, 45 car fields. But when we go over into Pennsylvania, where it's primarily wing racing, I believe there is one non-wing sprint car team in the state of Pennsylvania. So when we go to Pennsylvania, we're looking at 23 to 26, maybe 29 cars. I believe we had 30 at Pittsburgh one time, though. But yeah, the fans love it. They embrace it because it's something different. It's unique. And it gives us a chance to be on center stage because our drivers, you know, we can put our guys up 1 through 10 and look like superstars. And it's tough when you go to Lawrenceburg, Indiana, and our guys are running against all those tough Indiana race cars.
Aaron Fry joining us in the Buckeye Outlaw Sprint Series. When do you think this series, where it is right now, started to turn the corner a little bit? Where, who gave you the big break that kind of kicked open the door and kind of helped you with maybe the series starting to head in a really good direction?
I have to go back to our second ever event in 2011, and I wanted to bring this racetrack up because we kind of refer to it as our home racetrack. So far, they have hosted the most Boss races, but Wayne County Speedway, when I launched this deal in 2011, I made a minor mistake with our very first race and had it south of Columbus, Ohio, and anybody that knows that knows that what little sprint car racing down in the area is wing racing. And we had 15 cars show up at the first race at KC Raceway. But then I thought, wow, maybe this wasn't such a bright idea on my part. And then Jason Flory and Joe McElvain had acquired Wayne County Speedway at auction, called me up, said, hey, we want to host one of your races. And it just worked out. I had raced for years and was able to get a lot of my buddies who I've raced with over the years to come to that fall Wayne County race. We put 30 cars in, which was a high car count for that night, and really put on an excellent show. Had a lot of fans come from out of the area. That place was standing room only. The neighbors across the road who normally complain about the racetrack, they were charging $5 for people to park in their yards because the pit area was complete, or the parking lot was completely overflowing.
Good stuff from Aaron Fry from the Buckeye Outlaw Sprint Series. And one thing we were talking about off air, and you know, it isn't necessarily your biggest event, but man, last year at the UNO8 Sprintacular, we kind of figured you'd have a lot of cars. I wasn't expecting 54 cars, and I remember I come down to the tent just to kind of, because I'm starting to count cars, like, oh my word, there's a lot of cars here. I walk to the tent, and I look at you, and you look at me, and you go, my draw sheet is full. So how surprised were you that you managed to not only put not just a full field of sprint cars to Eldora, but over 50?
I tell you, we were really proud of that. If I'm not mistaken, we did a little research. I believe that was the highest car count for any sprint car race in Ohio for the entire season of 2013. And, yeah, we were very proud of that. And it didn't come as a total shock. I've got to say this. The people that helped me with the series, there's just three of us that go to every event. And one of our hobbies is on the way to the races, we'll guess the car count. And I have what I call my three-car guarantee. And heading to that race, Roger Slack from Eldora Speedway had called and said, what are you thinking on race cars? And I just didn't want to sound, you know, arrogant or anything like that. And I said, well, we're going to be a little over 40. And really, I think my guess that night was in the high 40s. Even I was off a little bit that night. But Roger Slack, I remember his comment was, do you really think so? Like, almost like he didn't believe me. And I just didn't have the heart to tell him that I was really thinking closer to 50. And because I have a lot of good guys who support this series, and when they tell me they're going to be at a race, most of them usually show up. We actually had six or seven guys who had wanted to be there. I know one guy, his truck broke down on the way to Eldora Speedway. So there easily could have been 55 cars on hand that night.
And, of course, that parlayed into a second race there. And, you know, you guys are on the grow. We're talking about it. What kind of new things can fans and teams expect from the Boss Series this year? Or is it pretty much just going to be business as usual from last season? Same procedure, same everything? Or is there anything new you're going to bring to the program other than the points fund for this year?
Well, yeah, like we said, obviously the points fund is going to more than double, and we are going to pay back 15 positions in the points instead of just 10 for this year. And in addition, we're going to be able to pay a bonus incentive to our drivers who are in the top 15 in points along the tour. They're guaranteed a little extra money along the way. They're guaranteed a minimum of $300 every night they make the main event, and guaranteed a minimum of $150 just for making an appearance. They can crash or get torn up in hot laps and still be guaranteed the $150 minimum. So that's new for the teams that are traveling with the entire tour. And as far as the business as usual, we're still going to pill draw, still the open tire rule. One thing the fans may notice, we did make an announcement that was pretty popular at the banquet. Racing is the entertainment business. And there's a lot of racetrack owners out there, and they're different than promoters. Racetrack owners open the gates and expect people to come in and hand them their money. promoters try to go out and grow the sport and do other things, and I try to be the promoter side of it, and we have implemented we've brought on a boss mascot that fans will see at the races this year. We brought Bucky the Boss Beaver, who'll be running around in the crowd and working with the kids, and we'll be at some other community events as well.
Well, I'll tell you, I would definitely put you in the promoter label, and that's who we like to have. We like promoters on this show. We're not much into operators. And Aaron Fry from Buckeye Outlaw Sprint Series, definitely one of those guys. And Aaron, if people want more information on the Boss Series, where can they find it at?
Real easy. Our website is www.buckeyesprints.com. And we're also on Facebook under just Buckeye Outlaw Sprint Series. And, of course, I can also be reached by email if drivers have any questions. And that's anyone that knows me and my racing career over the years. I've always carried the number 14 from the day I was 14 years old. So Sprinter14@Hotmail is my email address. So if the drivers need to get in touch with me to find out more about our program for this year, I welcome the emails and look forward to seeing everybody this year.
Well, Aaron, congratulations on everything you've accomplished with the series. I know you've worked extremely hard to bring it this far along, and it's really neat to see your hard work start to come to fruition and see this series be seriously on the grow.
I appreciate that very much. It's been a pleasure, and I have to say this, too. I hope a lot of my drivers are listening to the show, but the guys who have supported me from day one and the drivers who ran for points with us in the last two full seasons we had, they have been a pleasure to work with. They're great guys, and we just haven't had a lot of controversies. A lot of times you hear controversies, and we'll start tearing organizations apart, and our guys that travel the tour with us, it's like a big family. And we've just been really blessed to have a lot of good people step to the plate to help us out.
Well, here's hoping the family atmosphere continues. And we're going to talk to one of your racetrack people here in a second when we have Brian McAvoy on. So we're going to continue the Boss Day model a little bit.
Yeah, sounds great.
All righty. Thank you. Aaron Fry joining us on the hotline. Of course, Brian will be back with us from Montpelier Motor Speedway in segment two. So you'll get him next segment right after this break. You're listening to TJ Slideways Live here on racesontheweb.com.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at enginepro.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
If you're looking to add a little edge to your racing program, repair your engine, maybe even look into a new engine, Bailey Racing Engines of Coldwater, Michigan is a fine supporter of TJSlideways.com. Visit them online at BaileyEngines.com or call them at 517-278-8488.
Tired of having black headers that rust and wear out too quickly? Then you need to get some Rocket Headers. Rocket Header produces exhaust for 360 and 410 sprint car engines, dirt and pavement, with mufflers and turnouts. Stainless steel construction, TIG welding, and polished finish make Rocket Headers the best value in the open wheel racing exhaust market. For more information on where to buy Rocket Headers, visit their official website at rocketheaders.com.
TJ Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
If you're looking for new or used shocks or repair for your shocks or bump stop kits, make sure to check out Slade Shock Technology. Eric Slade has experience from sprint cars to NASCARs. He was in shocks before it was trendy, and now that's the hot thing in racing. You need to get your shock program in shape. Visit www.sladeshocktechnology.com for everything they offer. Slade Shock Technology. Get with the program. Get your shocks in shape.
There's a buzz in the bleachers, a rumble on the pavement, and the sweet smell of sprint car speed is in the air as Muncie Racing brings you the fastest short track event on earth. Watch as the most daring lead butts in the land stand on the gas and rocket around one of the fastest half miles in America. There are records to be broken and racing royalty in the pits. It's a flat-out, foot-on-the-floor sprint car fiesta, and you can't find this brand of adrenaline-soaked action anywhere else.
Friday Night Thunder returns to Oshwegan Speedway for the 2013 season, featuring the Corpax Sprint Car Series, Thunderstocks, Mini Stocks, and Bombers every Friday night. For more information, call 888-720-7223 or visit OshweganSpeedway.com for more information.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at EngineProParts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
TJ Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame. Welcome back to TJ Sideways Live here on RacesOnTheWeb.com. And my next guest works over at the Montpelier Motor Speedway, and over the weekend they announced their 2014 schedule. And there are a lot of really neat things in the works over there at Montpelier. It's not the old Montpelier anymore, folks. They are really making some big changes over there, but yet sticking with the bread and butter program. But I think open wheel fans will be happy with what Brian McAvoy brings to the table tonight to talk about at Montpelier. Brian, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks, TJ. Thanks for covering Montpelier Motor Speedway, and we're really excited about being on the program tonight, and we're excited about a lot of the things that we have in the works for our 2014 season here in East Central Indiana.
Now, the schedule is anchored with your bread and butter, your modifieds and your stock cars that have been there for pretty much since I can remember. That's been the cornerstone of Montpelier. But your midget program, we're in an era where people look at midget racing and go, man, I don't want to book that. People aren't going to watch it, or I'm not going to get cars. You guys managed to put together a program last year. It had solid car counts for every single race, a multitude of different winners, and it's working, and it's coming back again for this season.
Yeah, actually, the Midget Series will enter in its third season this year, and we started it up 3 years ago, and most people just thought we were crazy for even attempting midget racing. Everybody said, well, just run sprint cars. And we really felt that the midget was a niche that wasn't really being serviced or fan base and the cars. And so we started 3 years ago. The first year we averaged 14 cars, and then last year we actually averaged over 23 cars for the year. We only had three races that we didn't need to run a beam in, and we had full filter most of those. And then also of the eight races we hosted after our two rainouts, we actually posted eight different winners throughout the entire season. We've only had one repeat winner and two seasons in the midget series. So it's very, very competitive series right now.
And it's amazing to see, you know, did it take that first season, do you think, for some of the teams and drivers maybe just to put faith in this thing and go, all right, these people are in this for us, let's go out and support it?
Yeah, I think so. I think that they've been sold a lot of things, and a lot of different series have tried, and you know, there's just a lot of bad blood just overall. I didn't really understand that, but when we owned the series and the guaranteed the payout was there, and we would control the schedule, and the schedule would be there, and we stuck through thick and thin, and we're a track that we say we're going to do something or enforce something, or we're going to do our very best to do that. And that was one thing we wanted to prove to all of our drivers, not only our midget drivers, but we're going to stand by and do what's right and do what we say to put on the best race we can for the drivers and also for our fan base. So,
was there any point last season, we kind of asked this about Aaron and his series in the first segment, well, I want to ask this of you as well. Was there some point last year with the midgets where it kind of hit you like, wow, this thing's starting to really turn a corner a little bit. We're starting to get somewhere with this.
Yeah, I actually kind of thought it was our last race of the first season. We pulled in 20 cars, and it was a good race. And then we opened up our season last year, and the first night I think we had 26 cars. And the next night on Saturday we ran doubleheader. We had 28 cars, but we had a good mix. We had our regular drivers. We had everyone from Darren Hagan to Shane Hollingsworth to Bobby East. We had a lot of big names, a lot of big name hitters, and it really pitted the two against each other. And it was just a really really good show, and I thought it gave us credibility. We had guys like Billy Weiss that ran weekly with us for Don Moore, and then also Michael Coons brought his car and also was doing a deal with Blake Edwards, and I thought it really took off that first race, that double weekend of last year, and then as the year went on, we continued to pick up more and more cars, and so it was a good stepping stone for us for sure.
And you traditionally have been known as a stock car track, and you're introducing this open wheel division in there. How has the reception been from the front gate at the midget races? What are you seeing from fan wise? Do they like the midget racing, do you think? Is it something maybe a little more back gate oriented, or you think the fans are starting to turn around and really seeing this place as a midget venue?
You know, I think we have a really diehard modified stock car base, and our modified stock cars are like any others you'll see a lot of tracks. I mean, they're highly competitive and they put on great shows. And so it is a very different fan base that likes the midget sprint cars. So we're, in a way, we've tried to incorporate the two, and just put on good races. But we think our normal fan base has really come around to because they have put on great shows. I mean, they're highly predictable. The things that these drivers can do with those midgets are just unbelievable, incredible. The show they put on. So we're really incorporating that. And plus we're drawing a lot of open wheel fans are coming to watch our midgets now more on a weekly basis. So it's really helped our front gate out. When you look at a midget purse and your normal purse, you're not going to be able to back gate that. You really have got to have fan support to make it viable for the long haul. And so that's really, the fans have really been what's made that happen. And it's also really what's enabled us to run some sprint cars and do some bigger sprint car events this year also.
And that's one thing I wanted to talk about. You guys are bringing back sprint cars this year, and you're bringing winged and non-winged sprint car races. You're bringing NRA, and you've teamed up with Limeland to make a nice little weekend, a two-day program where the tracks aren't very far apart. And also you're bringing in the Buckeye Outlaw Sprint Series. What made this year the right time to bring sprint cars back to Montpelier?
Well, we kind of had a five-year plan. You know, Harold and Lori are now on their fourth year of ownership of the track, and we didn't want to do something like this too soon and have it flop or not be able to service our customer base or promote it properly. And we've kind of felt that we're to the point where we're going to be able to do a great job at it, promote it, needs to be promoted. And we also wanted to keep our schedule as diverse as possible. We want to try to offer a fan something different every week and give them a different glimpse of different types of racing. So that was a big part of bringing back the sprint cars, both the wing and the non-wing. And it's kind of almost a different fan that likes both of those, but we're offering both the same venue this year. And, you know, it's just looking down our fan support. We have a very supportive base. Our track, our attendance have grown greatly over the last couple of years. Thanks in part to a lot of what Harold Lori has done with the facility. But it's enabled us to do some bigger stuff. We'll hopefully continue to bring these kinds of shows to East Central Indiana.
And one thing my dad mentioned from going there and covering midget races this year, we have both been to Montpelier before. And first thing he said right away is, it's not the same Montpelier. You guys have done a lot of facility upgrades. And if you look at your Facebook page, you guys have been displaying even more of those. It looks like you guys have really taken an ambitious stance with the facility over the year. What are, or during the off season, what kind of facility upgrades are fans going to be able to expect of when the gates open this spring?
Well, we got a lot of things going on right now. And like I said, Harold Lori got ownership of the track 4 years ago, and the first thing they did was build a very nice set of restrooms. And then we continue adding seating and bleachers as we needed them for our fan base to grow. We were actually short of what we needed, so we continue that. And then this year, you know, Harold just really continues to invest his time and really invests all his profits and money back into the facility, trying to make it better for racers. What we've done is, or what he's done is we've actually torn out, we had an old steel guardrail, and that's all been torn out. And then in turns 1, 2, 3, and 4, we're actually going to leave that open and leave a little runoff area to hopefully get the drivers a little bit of buffer before they get into something and cost some money. And then we're going to do a concrete block wall down our front stretch to replace that steel guardrail so it's going to be a little bit safer. And then we've also done a push-off lane and a, excuse me, an exit lane to our track to hopefully make it more friendly for the drivers and increase the racing. We've also done some re-rating of the track. When that wall came out, we're kind of able to re-rate it turns 3 and 4 to hopefully give it more of a high groove and also on the exit 2. So we think it's going to improve the racing. It's definitely going to make it safer. It gives you a little room for error versus hitting that wall and, you know, tearing something up. In this day and age, you can't tear cars up. So we just think overall it's just going to be a better experience for our drivers. And I think our fans are going to see some really good racing on the newly configured track.
Brian McAvoy joining us from Montpelier Motor Speedway. And one thing you mentioned is early in the interview, it struck me as you mentioned the phrase, you didn't want to get too big too quick. We all too often see a lot of ambitious promoters and they get a little bit of success, maybe try to bite off a little more than they can chew at some point. Has it been tempting to maybe look at something and go, wow, I'd really like this big show to come to Montpelier, whatever it might be, sprint car, late model, whatever, and you have to pull the reins back a little bit? Or are you guys pretty steadfast in your plan and where you want to go with this?
Well, we're pretty steadfast, I think. I think we look at all options every year. We survey our fan base to see what they would like, and then we see what we can, you know, what we can do about it. But one big key is when Harold originally took over the track, the car counts were way down in our modified and our stock cars, and you just couldn't produce a high quality show like that. So we really focused on our bread and butter for many of those years to help build the track back up, and those drivers have done a tremendous job. And then that's enabling us to continue to grow it, and then they're going to hopefully be part of something bigger each year as we add these bigger shows. I mean, the more of the stuff we're able to do successfully, you know, the better the racing and the better the facility is going to be for everybody. So that's been a big key. And Harold, you know, ran a business for many years, and he's smart, and he understands and that we've got to give it time, and it wasn't built in a day. It took a lot of years to run that track down as much as run down when he got it. But he's done great things with it, and we're ready to kind of step up in the spotlight a little more.
And last year, you and I spoke about the track had been at odds with the community, with previous management, where that tide was starting to change with you guys. What's your relationship? How would you rate your relationship right now with the Montpelier community? Because your racetrack is pretty much right in the middle of town. So how's the relationship with everyone around there at Montpelier?
Yeah, we're actually right in town. If you leave town, you've gone too far. So we're in town, and our mayor really supports us. We've got a very supportive city council. I think they understand the economic impact that we can make on local businesses. On Saturday nights, we'll have more fans in our stands than what our city population is a lot of nights. So there's a lot of positive that's happened for our community. But we also do try to do our best not to run late shows, keep things clean, basically represent the town itself really well. And so, you know, without the support of our city council and our mayor and the Chamber of Commerce and the things that we're involved with, none of this would have been possible. And their support is really what's helped push it over the top. And we're very thankful for that. You've got to have that. And with our location, you know, we need to be a good member of our community. And we're doing our best to do that, hopefully. Hopefully not, especially with the economic impact of such a small town. I mean, our restaurants and our gas stations, they're just packed on race night. That's a great thing to see.
And you mentioned the 5-year plan. You guys put together a 5-year plan. So let's see. Let's put you on the spot here a little bit. Let's say things fall into place. And you're on year 5. What does Montpelier Motor Speedway look like on that 5th year?
Well, I think we definitely want to continue our facility improvements. There's still lots of dreams and things that we like to do. And I hate to announce that stuff before we actually do it. But you know, we definitely want to continue reinvesting in the track and reinvesting in the racing. That's going to help our growth. And I think Harold and Lori both feel that way. And again, we'd like to continue with more sprint car stuff, possibly late model stuff, just things of that nature. And we're going to see how our fan base responds and how their fans respond to our wing race and our non-wing race. And hopefully that will probably give us a little bit of direction on which way to take it next year as we schedule more specials and more special programs at our track.
And what do you think right now is the biggest challenge at Montpelier Motor Speedway that you're facing this upcoming season?
Well, I hate to say it, but weather is always a big determining factor. We know that Aaron Fry and Boss are going to put a tremendous show, and we're going to have a really solid car count that night. It's going to be very solid. Everything he does is that way, and that's why we went to Aaron. But, you know, you only know back of your head is like, what if it gets rained out? And, you know, same thing with NRA Sprint Bader show. So that's probably your biggest challenge, because you do want to be able to get those races in. I mean, they're the ones that you put a lot of emphasis on promoting and that nature. So that's probably our biggest thing. Years ago, it probably would have been this community, but they're so receptive now, and they've really just done a great job supporting us.
Well, it's great. I love hearing racetracks that are maybe not have done as well, that are really starting to turn the corner. It sounds like everyone there at Montpelier Motor Speedway is doing a great job. Brian, if people want information, want to print the 2014 schedule, by the way, it was a beautiful flyer. You guys sent out a nice-looking flyer with the schedule that we got. Where in the world can we find it? And I think we lost Brian, so I'm going to try to get Brian back on the line here so he can plug Montpelier Motor Speedway. We did lose him here briefly, and we'll see if we can get Brian back on the air. Brian, are you back with us?
Yeah, I got you, PJ.
Yeah, no problem. We lost you there for a second. So if people want more information on the Montpelier Motor Speedway, I just mentioned you guys sent us a beautiful flyer. Looks great. And if people want to print that out, keep it on their desk, or if they want to go on social media, where can they find information about Montpelier Motor Speedway?
Well, we're on all social media and websites. Our website address is MontpelierMotorSpeedway.com. Then we're on Facebook at Facebook.com/Montpelier Motor Speedway, or if you go to search it, it's actually home of Montpelier Motor Speedway. And we're also on Twitter at Montpelier Track.
All right. Well, Brian, thank you for taking time out to join us tonight. And I always tell people, it's one of the most unique experiences to go to a race at Montpelier because of the track being right in town and just the small town atmosphere and everything. It's a really neat experience. I think a lot of race fans could really appreciate if they give it a chance and take it in.
Yeah, and I think you'll have a whole new experience. And we welcome all fans and drivers with open arms, and we'll do our best on the best show we can for you. And we also really appreciate you, what you've done for us and cover our midget series, and along with Bill Miller, who's a great photographer. Yeah, I think you guys have really helped us speed up the growth of our program. So we appreciate what you do for open wheel racing for sure.
Well, we appreciate that too. Thank you very much, and have a great 2014 season. I'm sure we're going to have you on the air before that Boss race and that NRA show, and even some of your midget races this year.
Okay, we absolutely love it, and thanks again for covering us.
All righty. It's Brian McAvoy from Montpelier Motor Speedway. We're going to take another break. When we come back, Captain Kurt Cheney's going to join us. You're listening to GJ Slideways Live here on racesontheweb.com.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at engineproparts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
If you're looking to add a little edge to your racing program, repair your engine, maybe even look into a new engine, Bailey Racing Engines of Coldwater, Michigan is a fine supporter of TJSlideways.com. Visit them online at BaileyEngines.com or call them at 517-278-8488.
Tired of having black headers that rust and wear out too quickly? Then you need to get some Rocket Headers. Rocket Header produces exhaust for 360 and 410 sprint car engines, dirt and pavement, with mufflers and turnouts. Stainless steel construction, TIG welding, and polished finish make Rocket Headers the best value in the open wheel racing exhaust market. For more information on where to buy Rocket Headers, visit their official website at rocketheaders.com.
DJ Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
If you're looking for new or used shocks or repair for your shocks or bump stop kits, make sure to check out Slade Shock Technology. Eric Slade has experience from sprint cars to NASCARs. He was in shocks before it was trendy, and now that's the hot thing in racing. You need to get your shock program in shape. Visit www.sladeshocktechnology.com for everything they offer. Slade Shock Technology. Get with the program. Get your shocks in shape.
There's a buzz in the bleachers, a rumble on the pavement, and the sweet smell of sprint car speed is in the air as Muncie Racing brings you the fastest short track event on earth. Watch as the most daring lead foots in the land stand on the gas and rock it around one of the fastest half miles in America. There are records to be broken and racing royalty in the pits. It's a flat-out, foot-on-the-floor sprint car fiesta, and you can't find this brand of adrenaline-soaked action anywhere else.
Friday Night Thunder returns to Oshwegan Speedway for the 2013 season, featuring the Core Pack Sprint Car Series, Thunderstocks, Mini Stocks, and Bombers every Friday night. For more information, call 888-720-7223 or visit OshweganSpeedway.com for more information.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at engineproparts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
Welcome back to TJ Sideways Live here on racesontheweb.com. And don't forget, race fans, right here on racesontheweb.com, you're going to be able to watch all three sprints on dirt events and both Michigan traditional sprint car events at the Crystal Motor Speedway during the 2014 season. So it even includes the Engine Pro Shootout in July with the National Racing Alliance and the Sprints on Dirt series. All of those on racesontheweb.com throughout the summer live. Coming to you from Crystal Motor Speedway. And one of the drivers, likely you're going to see during those events, is Kirk Chaney, who joins us on the line. And the reason I have Kirk on is he's one of the most unique sprint car stories locally we've run across in my covering sprint car racing. His career spans through motorcycles, drag racing, and eventually got to sprint car racing somehow. So, Kirk, thank you for joining us tonight.
All right, thanks for having me on.
Well, let's get started. You grew up in motorcycle racing. First of all, let's go from the very beginning. How did you get introduced and get interested in motorcycle racing?
Well, my dad always had motorcycles. He loved motorcycles. He was busy raising a family, so he didn't have the funds needed to go racing. But he really wanted to see me do it. So he had friends that he worked with that were into racing, so he'd bring me home their old tires and everything he could possibly do to get me out there.
And you've done that quite a bit and had quite a bit of success at, you know, motorcycle racing, and eventually parlayed that into drag racing, which is actually kind of where I first started hearing about and stuff when you first got into sprint car racing. I'm like, this guy's a standout drag racer. You actually have won some pretty prestigious, like, regional sportsman races and some national stuff as well.
Yeah, when it started out, I had moved into motocross and flat track on motorcycles, and then I also apparently thought I had some spare time, so I was drag racing on Friday nights, Saturday nights. And with the drag racing, I started making a little money, paying the bills, not all the bills, but paying some of the bills. So I took off in that direction. And, then after, me and Bridget got married, she's apparently my good luck charm, because then we started making some really good money at it. So that's, and I still kept riding, as much as I could, but we were traveling as much as we could, drag racing also. So I kind of had to put the bikes to the side. So which broke my heart to do, but yeah, it's the old story. You got to kind of go where the money is, you know?
So you carve out this very successful drag racing career. All of a sudden, some people from Nashville show up and say, you should go sprint car racing. How in the world do you go from being a super successful drag racer to go like, hey, I'm going to try this?
Well, I got to a point in drag racing where I was starting to get burnout on it. So therefore my results weren't as good. We were scrimping to get by. And, Jim Hummel, who I've known him my whole life, he asked me, he'd been to my flat track races on motorcycles and stuff before. And he said, do you want to try a sprint car? And he goes, I'm looking for a driver this year. And I thought, yeah, how bad can that be? So.
And the rest is history. How many years have you been racing sprint cars now?
Not positive, but I think I'm on year 8 or 9, something like that.
I was going to say, it's got to be getting close to 10 at this point, because I remember.
Yeah, it might be. It might be close to 10. The thing about sprint car racing is it hasn't come as fast for me as all the other stuff did. And I don't know why. Still trying to figure that out.
Well, if you did, it would be coming faster, obviously. But,
right, as we joke, but very good point.
But you definitely seem to have fun doing it. Every time I come down to your pit, you're happy. I mean, you're a guy that tows the thing with a van, a trailer, no tire rack. You show up, you got a spare in the back, usually a motorcycle, and you seem like you have more fun at this than virtually everyone else I know. So what makes sprint car racing fun for you?
Well, it is, what really helped a lot was when, Matt Lumbert and Andy Tunison and me all grew up together. And then when those guys got into it, we can go to the races and have a really good time because we, although we don't always get along on the racetrack, we do get along in the pits really well. So that makes it fun. You got like family with you there, at every race. So that helps a lot.
I was just going to mention, you are responsible for dragging these two into this, too. You're not just a guy that came here by yourself. You drug Tuna and Lumber with you.
Well, that's the story the wives will tell. But they were pretty gung-ho on getting into it anyway, so it wasn't hard to drag them into it.
And you guys have had some hilarious adventures throughout the years. I remember one particular Canadian Sprint Car Nationals that was produced probably enough stories that some we could tell on the air and some we probably shouldn't. That
yes,
that for a lifetime. But like I said, you guys have so much fun; it's just amazing. But what's also kind of neat is it seems like the more you got into the sprint car racing, you got back into the motorcycles as well.
Yeah, I don't know why, because you wouldn't think you'd have a lot of extra time on your hands with the sprint car, but the first couple of years with the sprint car, I didn't have a lot of extra time, and then I started getting where I was, as everybody out there knows, I don't paint my car over the winter and stuff like that, so I do have a little time in the winters, for getting on the ice bike and traveling around the country, so...
And you did Supermoto for a little bit, but where you seem to have settled in and have quite a bit of success is with this Ice Series. And for fans that don't know or might be in someplace warm or someplace that doesn't have a lot of motorcycle racing, you guys race essentially with just like a smaller flat track bike essentially on the ice.
Yeah, it's all indoor arenas, hockey rinks is what we're on. They just build the ice up a little thicker for us. And we travel all over West Coast to East Coast. We were just in Pensacola 2 weeks ago. And they haul all your equipment for you. So when it's far away, you get to fly. And they take care of us pretty well. We put on a pretty good show for them, and they take care of us well. And
how did you get hooked up with the Ice Series and racing with them?
Well, I had wanted into an indoor series for a while because it's so cold outside in the wintertime. It's really nice to get indoors, and it's an invitation deal. And so I just kept applying and still racing outdoors. And then had some better results show up, and I was able to get into the indoors.
And what's kind of nice is you mentioned you've been on the West Coast. You're often off to Washington State or Florida. Well, Saturday night, you're in your backyard. You get to sleep in your own bed because you're at Wings Stadium on Saturday night in Kalamazoo.
Well, yeah, that is nice being able to drive 25 minutes from my house and get to the arena. But there's a downside to it, too. You know, a lot of people in the stands, and usually that can end up being a recipe for disaster.
I just got to treat it like any other race. So you're going to be at Wings Stadium on Saturday night, and it should be interesting. I was looking through the roster for this thing, and there's some pretty well-known racers. I mean, you're not racing against a bunch of people nobody heard of. I see, like, Jared Mees and some other names on here that are pretty known flat track guys.
Yeah, it's a pretty tough deal. It's the nice thing about it is being an indoor arena like that, if you get too aggressive, you're not going to make it. So you got to experience plays in. So with my age comes experience of knowing, you know, if you need to bump somebody out of the way, there's a certain art to doing it as far as you run over their foot and they'll let you by. So that kind of helps.
Kurt Chaney joining us here on the line talking about the upcoming ice event at Kalamazoo this Saturday night. And it's an interesting series, and somehow you've wrote me out coming out of retirement to announce this thing on Saturday. So, but I've wanted to have you on for a while, so this is kind of a good tie-in to do this. So I've never announced a motorcycle race in my life. So if you want to see me potentially do maybe okay or make a complete fool of myself, you can come out and see that. Or you can come out and see Kurt maybe win this thing on Saturday because, you know, he does pretty good at this. I mean, you look at the standings. You're pretty racy there in this whole series.
Yeah, it's been going pretty good. I've been this last year was the best year I've had. I won a race in Salt Lake City and was on the podium, I believe, four times last year, and I just all come together for me. Well, so yeah, it worked out. It's been working out good.
One thing I wanted to ask, being a bike guy, at one point, is there an unwritten rule that you can't race a quad? I mean, you just can't make that switch. Would your bike buddies give you a really bad time if you switched over to the quad division?
Well, actually, what I just did last weekend was I got a four-wheeler together, unlimited outlaw quad, and raced both classes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and all the bike guys were on board. They were really happy for me, and the quad guys thought that it wasn't going to go well for me, but I actually went out and set fast time, so it went quite well.
Now, are you racing one class Saturday or two?
I'm racing two, motorcycles and the quads both.
Yay, it's only one name. That's one name for both classes I have to remember. You know, Grant, I'm looking at a number plate that's 3 inches by 3 inches or whatever. You know, I mean, you do realize when you hired me for this gig, I'm used to 24 square foot wings, right? When I do this,
yeah. Make sure you bring some glasses or something.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, that's exciting to have you on board. The promoter said, hey, when we come to Michigan, I really need an announcer. My announcer's got previous engagements. And I said, I know the guy for the job. So luckily you were available.
Yeah, I'm coming out of retirement for this thing. So hopefully I don't screw it up too bad.
I'm pretty sure it'll go quite well.
Yeah, so this will be interesting. So Wing Stadium, if you for the Ice Racing Series, you can check it out on Facebook, also on Twitter. The ICE World Championship motorcycle races, also online. If you Google search it, you can find it on there as well, and you'll see Kurt and the rest of the gang, and you get to see me, but don't hold that against them. You know, come out and see Kurt race and stuff. So, hey, what are your sprint car plans for this year? Anyway, what are you planning on doing for 2014 with the sprint car?
Well, I told everybody at the end of the season that I was actually going to paint it this winter, because the car I'm driving now I got from Matt Lumber, and I'm starting to run out of time, so it looks like maybe I'll just at least maybe get his number off from it and get my 55 back on it. And that's probably about it.
Do you think
change the number?
Could you tell? Leave it out. Leave the body out in the sun for a little bit. Maybe the orange will get lighter.
That's a very good idea.
Hey, we are the idea people around here. I wonder how many people we can convince that that's a different shade of orange you painted it.
Yeah, nobody.
I doubt that. Well, Kurt, it's been really fun having you involved with sprint car racing. You know, I know no matter how bad of a night it is or whatever it is, I can usually come over to your pit and get a chuckle out of the deal and be around people that are having a good time. And that's when you're a weekly racer and doing this on the local level, that's really important to have people like that and people like you involved with it.
Well, thank you. It's fun. It's fun to have you show up in the pits with your notebook and camera. It's nice to get some pictures on the web.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Kurt, and like I said, look forward to seeing you on the bike on Saturday, and it's going to be interesting for both of us in this deal. How weird is it going to be seeing me come trotting through a motorcycle pit?
It'll be an adjustment, but I'm pretty sure that you won't take long to settle right into your new position.
Oh, okay. For one night. Let's make this clear. I don't want to get in trouble here. I'm coming out of retirement.
Well, if you do too good a job, you might be on for more than one.
we'll talk. Well, you're my agent, so we'll work on that
later. There you go.
So. All right, Captain Kurt Chaney joining us on the line here. One more thing I wanted to ask you about, too. You got some of the motorcycle guys to try out your sprint car. A couple different occasions. I believe Jared Mees is one of the guys that even got featured on Wind Tunnel. What was the reaction of the motorcycle guys when they got in the sprint car?
Well, they were a little shocked by the power. I knew it was going to be big. I've seen a really good lap on a motorcycle, like 21 seconds around 996, and I think a really good 360 lap is in the 16, 15, somewhere in there. So I knew it was going to be quite a shock for them, the power, the traction, and all that. And they were all a little surprised by it. Every one of them had a big grin on their face when they come off the track.
And of all the guys that tried it, who do you think had the most potential that could, you looked at and went, wow, this person could really do this if they worked at it a little bit?
Yeah, it would have been Jared Mees. He was a state champion wrestler growing up, Grand National Flat Track champion. Guys like that jumped into something and they adapt pretty quickly. I believe J.R. Schnabel would have been the fastest for maybe a lap and a half, but he'd have a whole lot of junk cars at the end of a season.
Because when you crash the bike, it hurts a lot more.
Well,
Kurt, I really appreciate it. This is going to be a lot of fun on Saturday. I can't wait. If you happen to be around Wing Stadium, Kalamazoo, come out and see us. It's going to be a great time, and come down and visit with us after the races.
Yeah, definitely. Come on down to the pits after the races. They have an autograph line also, so you can come through that. Bring the kids. Everybody has a good time.
All right. Captain Kurt Chaney joining us, and we're going to take another quick break, and then we're going to wrap up this edition of TJ Slideways Live. Stay tuned.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at EngineProParts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
If you're looking to add a little edge to your racing program, repair your engine, maybe even look into a new engine, Bailey Racing Engines of Coldwater, Michigan is a fine supporter of TJSlideways.com. Visit them online at BaileyEngines.com or call them at 517-278-8488.
Tired of having black headers that rust and wear out too quickly? Then you need to get some Rocket Headers. Rocket Header produces exhaust for 360 and 410 sprint car engines, dirt and pavement, with mufflers and turnouts. Stainless steel construction, TIG welding, and polished finish make Rocket Headers the best value in the open wheel racing exhaust market. For more information on where to buy Rocket Headers, visit their official website at rocketheaders.com.
TJ Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
If you're looking for new or used shocks or repair for your shocks or bump stop kits, make sure to check out Slade Shock Technology. Eric Slade has experience from sprint cars to NASCARs. He was in shocks before it was trendy, and now that's the hot thing in racing. You need to get your shock program in shape. Visit www.sladeshocktechnology.com for everything they offer. Slade Shock Technology. Get with the program. Get your shocks in shape.
There's a buzz in the bleachers, a rumble on the pavement, and the sweet smell of sprint car speed is in the air. As Muncie Racing brings you the fastest short track event on earth, watch as the most daring lead butts in the land stand on the gas and rock it around one of the fastest half miles in America. There are records to be broken and racing royalty in the pits. It's a flat-out, foot-on-the-floor sprint car fiesta, and you can't find this brand of adrenaline-soaked action anywhere else.
Friday Night Thunder returns to Oshwegan Speedway for the 2013 season, featuring the Corpac Sprint Car Series, Thunderstocks, Mini Stocks, and Bombers every Friday night. For more information, call 888-720-7223 or visit OshweganSpeedway.com for more information.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at EnginePropartsCom. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
If you're looking to add a little edge to your racing program, repair your engine, maybe even look into a new engine, Bailey Racing Engines of Coldwater, Michigan is a fine supporter of TJSlideways.com. Visit them online at BaileyEngines.com or call them at 517-278-8488.
Back here on TJ Sideways Live, here on racesontheweb.com, and I break my hair long because Kurt and I just get to talking. We've gotten in trouble in driver's meetings, we've made him late for hot laps, we've done just about everything to try to get in trouble, and now we're going to try to do it on two wheels instead of four, but a lot of interesting things going on in the open wheel racing world. I'll make a note of a couple things. If you have a chance on YouTube, there's two things you have to check out. Tim Kading's celebration over at Premier Speedway after winning the Grand Annual Sprint Car Classic. Congratulations to the Kirky family and the Kading for that big victory. But the donuts and flip, it's not the first to do it, but man, did he ever do it in spectacular fashion. And it's quite the celebration. And my friend Eric Arnold from Knoxville Raceway put it the same. If this guy ever wins the Knoxville Nationals, it's going to be the most insane thing you've ever seen, if that's what he did for the Classic. And also, our friends over at Loud Pedal Productions have their Chili Bowl video out. And There's only one thing that can make a loud pedal video better, and that's getting your Apple TV for Christmas and be able to project that thing off your iPad onto your 40-inch high-definition television. That was amazing to watch last night. They do such an amazing job over there at Loud Pedal, so make sure to check out those two items. And otherwise, schedules are coming together. We're starting to pick and choose our events for 2014, still waiting for a couple of more schedules to come out. And as more schedules come out, you're going to see the promoters coming on here for tracks and series, and you're going to be able to hear from us. So don't forget to send in your questions. And if you happen to be out at Wing Stadium on Saturday night, come out and see us motorcycle races. I know it's not really what we do here normally, but hey, you know what? It's kind of a broaden your horizons thing, and you know, Kurt's a good friend and should be a lot of fun. So we're going to have fun out there doing that. But then our focus goes right back to sprint car, midget, silver car racing, super modifieds, everything we do here at TJSlideways.com. So on behalf of all of my guests, I want to thank Aaron Fry, Brian McAvoy, and Kurt Chaney for being on tonight. We'll be here again next Monday night at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern. Thank you and good night.
Thank you for listening to this edition of TJ Slideways Live.